I need to ask really quickly. Could you please tell, it doesn't have to be right now. Could you please tell your dog I said hi? Because I saw them walk by.
She's right here. She's actually behaving.
I hope she'll be good.
I hope she won't, because I want to hear her talk. So she just wants to be a part of things. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we are back, baby. Season 3.
Yes, we are. Oh my gosh. It doesn't seem like it's been two full years.
Crazy.
This is wild. I am Mandy of Allegacia.
And I'm Karen from Harcourt Homes, because I am feeling my age.
Yeah.
Feeling it.
Yeah, I'm with you for sure.
All right. It is the... First time I am breaking Mandy's heart this year. I am so sorry. In our timeline, it is January 11th. In y'all's timeline, it is January 19th. That doesn't seem correct.
Mm-mm. You're rude.
I'm so sorry. I'm not. It's just my job.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my goodness. Are we diving right in?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. This week in
Fangirl. Do you have anything else? Do you have anything else to talk about?
I don't know. Brain is mush. I don't know what anything is anymore. So we'll go with it. Tell me what you read this week or watched.
Until you said that, I almost forgot a thing I watched. Me too. Until you said the W word.
I just remembered right now as well. So. And I bet it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Okay. So I've been listening to this since before it came out because of my besties over at Libro FM, but I've been taking it very slowly because it's not something that I have to finish right now immediately, but it's something I want to sit in. I'm listening to Murtag by Christopher Paolini because I was an Aragorn girly, not immediately when they came out, but my bestie Brandy had to like tell me when we started working together, like, you've got to read Aragorn, and I freaking loved it. So Murtag is another book in the Inheritance saga, and it follows Murtag and Thorne. They're gonna be spoilers for Aragorn. I'm sorry.
Should I just stop listening? I'll just
tune out. It's Bye. Something that you pretty much assume from the start of every
By the time children's I series. Ever get around to reading it, I will have forgotten this entire conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
and
fine.
These books came out 10 plus years ago. Right. So it's not like Mrs. J. Maas spoiling her book yesterday. I nearly had a heart attack and I immediately frantically texted Karen and was like, don't look at any Sarah J. Maas related social media.
Nothing.
She is literally spoiling everything. And people are like, the book's been out 2 years, and it has, but I just don't want it spoiled for you.
No. I'm
Anyways.
Good. I don't okay, even follow so, her.
If you're in any fandom related groups, I've seen it everywhere. I saw someone randomly post it that I think we're both friends with. They just posted the screenshot and I was like, just, if you see a purple background and gold writing, run away.
Okay.
So anyways, the bad guy is gone.
Fair.
Galbatorix is gone. That's the spoiler.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's been 10 years. I mean, it's like saying,
never would have guessed that.
I don't know what's going to happen to Voldemort. Like, yeah. it's a kids, young adult series, you know. So anyways, but Murtag and Thorne were kind of prisoners, kind of helping Galbatorix, not because they wanted to, but because they were kind of compelled, they had to. But now that he's gone and, you know, the land is taking on a new era of not being in nightmare and brutality all the time, they're hated. And so they are exiled. I mean, and you can't blame the people who hate them, because
that's fair.
You participated. Even though you were essentially a slave to his will, you still participated. So they've been exiled. And there's these weird, like, everywhere they go, because there are still like small villages and stuff that they come upon, they keep hearing these whispers of this like smell of brimstone. And there's like, it's like there's something just at the edge of their fingertips that, like, as soon as they enter, something is just left. That feeling of like something's not right, but I don't know what. Come to find out, there's this witch who has decided that she's taken over, and they have to try to find a way to, I'm trying to be spoiler free with this because this is new, they have to find a way to like outsmart her and get one step ahead of her, but every time they make a move, she's made three. So it's been a lot of fun, and I don't let myself read too much because I just, Christopher Paolini reminds me so much of my brother, and so like I just love like reading things that he's written. I've met him and he is an angel on this earth. Aww. I want to tell a fun little story about Christopher Pellini real quick. We were at Dragon Con several years ago and Brandy really wanted to get his autograph. Like, he had a panel and we went to it and he signed some books, but we couldn't get to the stage in time. There were so many people. So I went to Twitter and I just tweeted him. I was like, we really want to get your book signed. Is there anywhere you're going to be this weekend? And he's like, he immediately tweets me back and he's like, I'm in the lobby of, I don't remember, this hotel. Come meet me. I'll wait for you guys.
Aww.
We stood there talking to him for like half an hour.
Oh,
it was
love that.
And he was like tweeting me, like guiding me to where in the lobby he was, because there were hundreds, there's thousands upon thousands of people at Dragon Con. So there were so many people that he's like live tweeting me how to get to him. We have photos. It like an angel on this earth. I ride hard for Christopher Paolini. So I love like being immersed. You really should read Aragon. Like, it is so much fun. Don't ever watch that godforsaken movie. That movie is a crime against humanity. It should not exist. It should be killed with fire. But the books are everything. So yeah, I've been slowly getting through Murtagh, and that's been fun. I've also started listening to The Infinity Alchemist by Kacen Callender. I'm kind of going to skim down the Goodreads thing because it's been a few days since I picked it up and I don't have a brain. Mm-hmm. I'm still in early January. Okay, so our main character is Ash Woods, and he is a very talented alchemist. Okay. The only problem is he's not allowed to be an alchemist. Only a few are allowed to practice alchemy, and they all study, like they go to college and study the science of alchemy. He's rejected by that college. Like, he's told, you don't belong here. You can't come. So he takes a job as the assistant to the groundskeeper to like be able to overhear lessons. You know, I'm under a window and I can hear, you know, what the professor is telling them. Well, while he's working, he's also practicing alchemy kind of secretly, but he's caught by this apprentice, Ramsey, who is just like very haughty, very sassy. I'm better than you. Gives like, I hate to keep referencing this series, but it's like the best parallel I have is like a Malfoy.
Okay.
Prestigious family with known ties to bad deeds. Both of Ramsey's parents have died in a mass murder. They're killing a bunch of people and they die. Ramsey is not certain that they are guilty though. So Ramsey is gender fluid. I'm going to use he because when asked in the book, what pronouns or how should I address you? The last pronouns you saw me as. And the last time I saw Ramsey where I am, he is using him pronouns. He is male. If I change that later, because it's a later part in the story, just that's why.
Makes sense.
Ramsey is, it's very cool. And they never, I love that it's addressed. Ash just says, last time I saw you, you look different. How do I do that? And they're like, and Ramsey is like, however you saw me last, go with that one. So Ramsey is kind of a Malfoy. Very rich family, very haughty. But instead of saying, I'm going to call the Reds, which are like the police, I will keep your secret and I will even teach you alchemy. But you are going to have to help me find this Book of Source, which is like their legendary book that is like a grimoire that gives you all of the power of alchemy, you know, and more power than any human or alchemist could ever begin to fathom. So I'm going to blackmail you, basically. I won't tell anybody unless you won't help me.
Right.
But they start to work together and feelings start to happen because of course they do. It's incredibly dangerous. Ash meets a lot of attacks. He's the victim of a lot of attacks that he does not see coming, including his father, who Ash doesn't know if his father even knows he exists. Because his father was this like prestigious professor at the college and his mother was like a, what you find out to be outcasted alchemist. And you're thinking, is it because she got pregnant with a professor and he gets to keep all the glory and she gets to go? You find out, it's a spoiler, but it's not. You find out very early on that Ash's mother has passed and Ash believes that she was reaching out to his father for help. She passes of like a lung disease and she was trying to get help. And he, from what Ash knows and from what I know now, because I haven't gotten any more, his dad ignored her and let her die. I'm not saying that is what happened. It could change. I'm just that's how Ash starts the book. So yeah, they go all over New Anglia, which is the town, the city that it takes place in. And yeah, he has to keep his own values in check while also trying to like make sure, like, is this person that I'm aligning myself with going to get this book and use it for evil? Ramsey does give his reasoning and he says it's not for evil, but I just met you. How do I know that you're telling the truth? It is full of trans and queer and polyamorous representation. A lot of people of color. You know that we can expect a very diverse cast when it comes to A Case in Calendar.
Absolutely.
Work of art. It's been excellent. It's been what you would expect from Case in Calendar writing a fantasy.
I'm so excited to read it.
I did the same thing with, as I'm doing with Murtagh for different reasons. I kind of tried to slow down because I'm not ready for it to end.
Yeah.
So I think I'm about halfway through, maybe a little more than halfway. So I'm excited about that.
Nice.
And then the last thing I've read is The Breakup Tour. But I'm going to, like, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm going to guess, but this always seems to me like I'm saying like a riddle. Emily Wibberly and Austin Siegmund Broca.
That's how I've been pronouncing it in my head. So hopefully that's correct.
We can ask him to clarify.
Yeah.
All right. So Riley Wynn is that girl. Mm-hmm. She's the songstress that is selling out major stadiums on her long-awaited and much-beloved breakup tour, which is the tour supporting her latest album that it's the breakup album. She's written a song about every one of her like major exes. Max Harcourt, who is one of those exes, and Riley's, I would call him the one that got away from the start of the book, is right where she left him, running Harcourt Homes, which is his family business and old folks home, as we'd call it in the South, a retirement home. And yeah, they are no longer together and he's running this home and she's running the world. Riley has this ex-husband and it was a very quick marriage and a very quick divorce, but he has laid claim to the most popular song on the breakup album, which is called Until You, which Riley actually wrote about Max. And this ex-husband is essentially taking credit for her fame and the song's popularity. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's only popular because it's about me. I took her to award shows, blah, blah, blah. So Riley is like, you don't get to take my story that has nothing to do with you and claim it as your own. So she decides she wants to tell the world exactly who the song is about, Max. But she has the decency to ask Max first. Mm-hmm. Like she's got Taylor Swift level fame. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if she releases his name, people will find him.
Yeah. People will, his life will never, I know a lot of people knew who Travis Kelce was. Okay.
Right.
I did not.
But it's...
And now I get New Heights podcasts every other TikTok. Okay. I'm just saying a lot of people would have known who Max Harcourt was if she just released his name. So the fact that she goes and asks him is wonderful. And he says, thank you, but no. For it's fair.
Yeah.
I don't want that level of fame. I don't want your fans knocking down my door. I didn't want that life. So comic timing for a book. Max's parents and sister approach him and say, look, we no longer want to own Harcourt Homes. It's falling apart. There's some interested investors who want to purchase the property, but they frame it so unfairly to Max, in my opinion. They say, well, it's because of you. You never got to do, you're such a talented pianist. You never got to live out your dreams of like touring and being
a
musician.
They kind of try and like guilt trip him.
Yeah, they guilt trip him.
Like thinking that he only stayed because of that and not because it was what he wanted.
He actually wanted to
he chose it from the
everything
get-go.
He says, this is what I want to do. I'm happy. And yes, he probably, and I don't want to give away spoilers, he probably would have been happy going on tour with Riley eventually, but that's not what he chose and they don't have any respect for it. I kind of got a little beef with them. So he decides, I'm going to test that theory. My parents are going to stay and run Harcourt Homes, and he goes and asks Riley, can I go on tour with you? You can tell everyone that, you know, we can tell people
hints.
The song is about me. You can drop hints that it's about me. You don't say this is Max and the song is about me. You can hint that it's about me. I want to play the song with you because like I said, he's a talented pianist, and that way I can see, is tour life for me or was I right in my decision to run Harcourt Homes?
And
it goes about as you would plan. They share a tour bus. There's long nights, second chance romance, very Emily Wibberly and Austin Siegmund Broca. So I read that. And then I've been watching A Percy Freakin' Jackson.
Oh my God. It's so good.
I like every time we watch, because I watch it with Josh, obviously. He never read the books. It makes me want to reread them so bad.
Oh, I'm rereading Percy Jackson this year. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I told him, like, I'm so happy that they cast actual 12-year-olds.
Actual children.
He may not be 12, but actual people who look like children.
Who look like
not
children.
Not a 17-year-old.
Yeah. Right.
Pretending.
Because they are children.
Yes.
And that's the deal.
Everybody forgets that. And the movies were fine. Like, they're not as bad as Aragorn, but it's not children.
It's a different vibe.
Like, it doesn't drive home the fact that these are actual little kids.
They're actual children in extremely dangerous situations. It hits different when it's an actual,
you
like,
look at
12-year-old
someone who looks like
versus
a 12-year-old.
17-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
It hits different. Absolutely.
I have not a single note about this show. Everything is perfect. I cry every episode.
It's so good.
Like, it is so well done. They've made some changes from the books. You say it, what?
Oh, I was going to say, when Lin-Manuel Miranda shows up, my daughter was like, what? And I was just staring at her, waiting for her reaction.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was coming, but she didn't. And it was so funny.
Yeah. I mean, Josh knew he was going to be there, but I don't think he knew who it was. And so when they said Hermes Delivery Service, I was like,
I was sitting there. I was like, oh my God, is it happening? Is it happening?
I know. And poor Josh. He has to watch it with a Greek mythology nerd. So he's like, you know, minor spoilers. They go through like the Tunnel of Love, which is Aphrodite's little thing. And in the books, I don't remember Hephaestus actually being there and showing up.
I don't
but
remember.
But as
the
they're going through the ride, it said something about, you know, it's Hephaestus's story. And I was like, oh yeah. So let me tell you about Aphrodite and Hephaestus. They're married, but sometimes she gets with Ares and... and they mention Athena, and I'm like, oh, let me tell you about Athena. She is like queen of knowledge, wisdom. She's we love her.
Obsessed.
So he has to like watch with someone who read all the Percy Jackson books and someone who's a Greek mythology nerd in general.
Mm-hmm.
Poor man. He has to pause it so many times to let me like get out the fangirl.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, Percy freaking Jackson.
Hell
Disney
yeah.
Disney Plus should have done this 10 years ago. Disney Plus didn't even exist then, but
they should have.
Where have you guys been? So yeah, that's been my... Okay, I know we said we weren't going to do Best of the Break, and I won't like dive into it. I need everyone to read these Infinite Threads. This Woven Kingdom and these Infinite Threads. Persian mythology, Tahar Amafi. Perfect. 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 Okay, anyways, what did you do this week?
I don't know if I have the subtitle correct, but because I didn't write it down, but it's He, She, They, How We Talk About Gender and Why It Matters.
I have that. Yeah.
By Skylar Baylor. So Skylar is a trans man, he, him, and he is like an educator about gender and kind of the gender spectrum and also other things. And so this book is about, it dives into a lot of like the conversation around like trans people and trans rights. And it's exactly what you would expect from this
right.
book.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is so good. I was listening to it on audiobook, and he also like weaves in like stories of like when he's gone to places to give talks, and you know there are teenagers coming up to him and having this emotional reaction, and I'm like literally sitting here crying, like
right.
listening to this, you know, nonfiction book, and it's really emotional, and it's really well written, and I love it. And he has a way of like de-escalating situations before they can get bad, and like teaches you how to do that within the book so that you can also start these conversations with like people who need to have these conversations. But
so
also
it sounds kind of like, oh, you go ahead.
No. Oh, well, I was gonna say, and it's also like, it's a reminder that you also need to take care of yourself. Like, you don't have to have these conversations. If you don't feel safe, you don't have to have the conversation. You can walk away. But if you feel like there's somebody who, you know, is open to having that conversation, you can ease into it without making them feel like you're attacking them.
Right.
And he teaches it really well. And I really loved it.
That sounds kind of like How to Be an Anti-Racist was, where they tell you, like, if you isolate Aunt Shirley at Thanksgiving for saying a racist comment, no one is there to educate her. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, I'm not going to Thanksgiving because she's going to be there, go and have the hard conversation. And you don't have to be rude. You can be respectful and say, look, the things you're saying are hateful. And here's why.
Well, and one of the things that he brings up a couple times is when I think there was an interaction with somebody who was like, well, how do you know you're a man? Like because he hasn't had bottom surgery. And so
not that he should have to tell anyone that.
But because that is something that he's been open about. But even if that's not the case, even if nobody knows that, you know, like, that's not something you should be talking about, first of all. But this man is like, how do you know you're a man? And then Skylar comes back at him with questions and asks him questions like, well, what does it mean to you to be a man? He's like, well, I, you know, parts. And he's like, okay, well, you identify as a man. But if you had some sort of accident where those parts are no longer a part of you, are you still a man? And so he gets them thinking about these things, and also encourages cis people to think about their gender as well, because we need to, you know, gender is a spectrum and it's fluid and it's not binary, no matter what.
Aren't there six sexes biologically?
And biological sex is not even like a good indicator, you know, like that.
Well, no, I'm saying they love to go to
wolves. Right, exactly.
But no, actually, there's way more than two.
Yeah, honey. But it's so well written, and I really need to bump it up. Yeah, it came through on my Libby app, and I was like, "This is this is great," and it was so good, and literally, I was crying at various points because it gets you. It's like so emotional, and I'm just like, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so glad that we're able to have these conversations now and have books like this, especially for like the young trans youth, queer youth who wouldn't have had any of these conversations.
Nowhere else to turn. Yeah. Or wouldn't have had anywhere else to turn.
And a lot of, also,
No, you go first. I have a lag.
a lot of the interactions he was saying that he had with teens was like, they were saying, you are the first person like me that I've seen. Aww. And like publicly. And so I'm just like, how do you not just start crying?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, really good. Like, highly recommend.
I want to give a disclaimer. I know that discussions about gender and how to be an anti-racist are not at all the same thing. But when you talked about getting emotional about a nonfiction book, like, I feel that because of reading, because as a straight white person reading a book about, you know, how shitty straight white people can be, it was very emotional too, because it's like, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
And learning to like try every day to fix that in yourself so that you can fix it outside of yourself.
And then, and the other thing is, like, yeah, there are separate conversations, but there's so much intersectionality too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
I just don't want anybody to be like, that's not the same thing. I know. Yeah. Just getting emotional about a nonfiction book. Yeah. I've been there. And when you don't ever think, like, you think you're going to read nonfiction and go to sleep. Like,
yeah. But then you're sitting out here like crying, like,
you're
so
like,
emotional.
Wait a second. This is so deep.
Yeah. So
I thought this was going to be like NyQuil and just put me out. I didn't ever think that about how to be an anti-racist. It's just when you think nonfiction, you're like, oh, it's an encyclopedia. Okay, cool. It's a book about sheeps. All of the different versions of cows.
Oh my God, stop.
It's because we're kids of the 90s where like the nonfiction section was all of those like.
Yeah, it's true though.
Those reference books. So now when I hear nonfiction, I'm like, good night.
There's so much lovely nonfiction
so good lately. Yeah.
There's so much lovely nonfiction out right now.
We gotta come into the 2020s now.
Absolutely. We need to get rid of our biases against nonfiction.
I start thinking of Dewey Decimal. I'm like, good night.
Okay. Well, that was the only nonfiction I read this week, but it was excellent. I read Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood.
Ooh, that's a good one.
My God. He's like,
she knows how to write a man.
This man. Oh. It's like so clear. I mean, for us anyways, that he's gone.
Is he blonde?
I think so.
I feel like that's the only thing that held me back in this one. I was like, you're not Aaron Warner.
But it's so clear that he's gone for her from the beginning. And she has no clue. She thinks he hates her. And it's just so good.
Yep.
I loved it. I mean, Allie Hazelwood can do no wrong, in my opinion. Oh. I'm a big fan. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. Always.
I talked about none of the plot, but... It's excellent.
I remember
guys.
None of the plot. Yeah. I just remember I loved it.
Listen, I've read 3 books since then, so I've got nothing in my brain, guys.
It's Allie Hazelwood. What more do you need?
It really, exactly.
It's Allie Hazelwood, an hour recommendation. What more do you need?
I've read Evergreen by Devin Greenlee. It follows a 17-year-old half dryad, half human boy who is the only male dryad to like exist ever. They're all female.
I have to Google what a dryad looks like so I can get a good picture of this.
It's kind of like, I think he compared it to like
a tree nymph.
Yeah. Like
they're so cute. It's kind of like the thing that Grover goes to talk to in Percy Jackson, the tree lady.
Yeah. And so
he,
in his family, so in this world, the dryads, each family has like a garden that, this is a secret garden retelling, first of all. I should mention that. First of all. But so they have this garden that basically houses like their ancestors and their magic, and they protect it at all costs because that's basically how they continue, you know, living with their ancestors. Like once a dryad passes after thousands of years, they don't like just die. They go into the garden.
Go back into the earth.
They become a tree. So they're literally there in this garden. And so one night, what is this boy's name? Quill. Quill wakes up. And he sees somebody at his window and he picks up a bat and he's like, what are you doing here? And it turns out it's this boy, Liam, who has just moved in next door. And he's like, I could smell flowers. I'm allergic. I needed to close your window because it was just like, I couldn't sleep kind of thing.
Relatable. Mm-hmm.
And so he was just like, ooh. But then Quill sees that the door to the secret garden is open because the secret garden lives in like a pocket universe. So they have just the door in their like apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's super suspicious, right? And he goes into the garden and he finds his sister and she's like, somebody broke in. And he's like, I think so. And so they're like freaking out, like trying to figure out, oh no, who broke in? Might be that neighbor kid. Pretty suspicious. So part of the story is them trying to figure out who's broken into the secret garden. And then at a certain point, it kind of turns and it takes an unexpected turn that I did not expect. Good words. I'm good at
Wait
words.
Wait a minute.
It takes an unexpected turn and it was like, what? Very surprising. And of course, there's like a little romance thingy going with Liam and Quill. And Quill has been like cooped up in their apartment. Like he's not allowed to leave. They own the apartment building.
Right.
And so he's basically not allowed to leave because his mom and his sister are like, it's not safe for you. Not because he doesn't have magic like them. And so they're like, it's not safe for you. We need to wait a little bit longer. Your time will come. And so he meets Liam and all of a sudden he's taking these like risks and like sneaking out and all of this. And so it's really good. I really liked it.
Evergreen
by Devin Greenlee.
I love that that's their last name too.
Right. I love that. It like goes so well together.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that's on purpose.
Is
like
that a pen just name? You did that on purpose.
But like very cool. And it's actually from Entangled's teen imprint. So I felt pretty good going into it.
Oh yeah.
So
we love our besties at Entangled.
Absolutely. So I highly recommend it. I really liked it. I really want to reread The Secret Garden now because
I want to go watch it. Can you find it? I feel like my sister told me she couldn't find it streaming anywhere, but that may have been something else.
We'll figure it out.
Oh no, it was Susie Q.
Oh,
you remember Susie Q? She was trying to find Susie Q to stream and couldn't. And I said, we should let him watch Secret Garden.
Love. Okay. And then I read a book called Most Definitely Worth It by Dominic Laura. She's an indie author. It follows, what is her name? I took no notes, guys. It's a romance. There's a girl. There's a boy. The boy
is their name Laura Dominic or Dominic Laura?
Dominic Laura is the author's name.
Okay.
Dominique Laura.
You said she, and I was like, I shouldn't assume
Dominique
based on
Laura.
Name.
Sorry.
So you said Dominic Laura, she, and I was like,
brains are hard. Okay. Most Definitely Worth It by Dominique Laura. It is a romance novel. It follows, what is the main character's name? Give me like 2 seconds.
We are prepped.
We are so prepped. Okay. So her name is Mariana, but everybody calls her Aria.
Okay.
And she is a part of a, she has three cousins and they're all very close. Like, it's a very tight-knit family. Mm-hmm. And her older cousin, Esteban, who they call Steb, they all have nicknames. He has a best friend, Andres, who has been like, they've been best friends forever. He's basically a part of the family. Aria's had a crush on him for forever. Mm-hmm. And she's always been like, well, no, he's my older cousin's best friend. He's been in like this on and off relationship since like high school with this girl, Gabrielle or Gabriella. I can't remember. Anyways, not important. They've been in an on and off relationship for years. Now they are officially broken up permanently forever. Good. And so Aria was like, no. I still can't. He's basically my brother. He's the best friend. No, that would just make things weird for our whole group dynamic. Well, Steb decides that he and Aria live together. He decides that he's going to go on a month-long trip elsewhere. And now that Andres and his ex have broken up, he needs to move out of the apartment they shared together. And since Steb's going to be gone, he has offered his room to Andres, which means that they are now temporary roommates, Andres and Aria.
No.
It's a forced proximity.
I love it.
And she's just like, nope. Nope, can't do that. And he is over here, like, secretly has had a crush on her as well the entire time. And so he is like, well, I'm single. I'm going to flirt with you now. And so he's like, I'm here. If you're interested. And she's like, no, we can't do that. No. And she's like trying so hard to like not basically climb this man. She's trying so hard. And he's just sitting here like, well, whenever you're ready. And it's just,
I'll be here.
It's so frustrating because it's like, clearly you guys are going to get together, but she's like putting it off as long as possible, which is so dumb.
Oh gosh.
So it's forced proximities. It's instead of brother's best friend, it's cousin's best friend. There is a great, like, the family is great. They're all really supportive of each other. It's adorable. There's no third act breakup. I know that makes you so happy.
I hate it. I hate it. God, that and a pregnancy trope makes me want to throw the book across the room.
So it is excellent and very spicy. So
really? Okay.
Yeah. And then the last thing I read was The Curse of Penrith Hall by Jess Armstrong, which follows this girl who works for like a bookseller, and he's like, I need you to deliver this trunk to this person at this place. I'm really good at descriptions right now because I wrote so many notes. This place is where her like former best friend currently lives, and she has been like avoiding her for like 3 years because they ended on bad terms. Like, mm-hmm. her friend got married and basically they're not a part of each other's lives anymore. So she's really anxious going to the city to deliver these books because she's like, well, I can't go and not say, like, not see her. And so she ends up going there and she sees her best friend and they have dinner and she meets this guy because she like goes for a swim and then like falls asleep on the beach and he finds her and wakes her up. And anyways, there's a boy, mm-hmm. obviously, because mm-hmm. why not? And so anyway, she has dinner with her friend and her husband and it's like awkward because she really doesn't like the husband. And then when she goes to sleep that night at Penrith Hall, she has this dream and it's like kind of like not a comfortable dream. Things are happening. Mm-hmm. There's murdery things happening and there's like fighting and it's not good. She wakes up to find that her friend's husband has been murdered and she's like, oh shit.
And I don't like you already. So I'm
did I do that? Did I do that in my sleep? And so it's a whole, and there's supposedly like a curse surrounding Penrith Hall because a similar thing happened to the husband's uncle like many years ago. And the uncle's like dies and his wife dies and the children. So like now her friend is like, I'm next. Oh no, I need you to promise me whatever happens, you protect my kid. And so basically the whole book is like trying to figure out like, was this murder? Is this a curse? What's happening? And I did not see
protecting your nibbling.
Yeah. And there's like, it's very, it's spoilery, but it's pretty clear from the beginning that the girl and her friend were in a romantic relationship at some point, and her friend ended that relationship to get married. And so that's, yeah. And it's explained exactly why and more nuance to it when you read the book, but it was really good. I did not expect the ending. It was kind of, it was also kind of like anticlimactic in a way. Like you get to the ending and you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. But also that could have been much cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have done this differently.
Yeah. So it was really, I really enjoyed it. And the, you know, and then the ending, I'm like, okay, that's an okay ending. But the book up until that point was really excellent.
Yeah. All right.
So I liked it. I would recommend it still. And that was what I read. I also have been watching Percy Jackson. And since the last time that we talked about things that we did, I have watched Loki, which was... Chef's kiss. So good.
Literally held up like the recent Marvel shows.
It kind of is keeping Marvel in conversation right now.
Yeah.
Because it's been rough. I haven't watched Echo yet. I might do that this weekend.
We started it last night or the night before last, but yeah. I fell asleep so fast because it might have been this week. I don't know when it was. Josh turned it on recently and we both fell asleep very quickly, but it was just because we were tired. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my week.
Do you happen to have a fictional boyfriend of the week?
I do indeed. And it is Max
Harcourt. I think we're going to have to share.
It is Max Harcourt.
Give me a tortured pianist extraordinaire.
This sweet man. My God. I love him. From the moment he appears, he's just...
I mean, his family's mean to him.
Poor baby.
Not nice.
But the way that he talks about piano and music and Riley is just so freaking romantic.
I have another fictional boyfriend that I just thought of that the world needs to know about. Cyrus from This Woven Kingdom.
I saw you commenting on somebody's Goodreads like post or something.
Yeah, where they were like, Cameron, is this series Aaron Warner? I'm sorry. The prince, the good prince, is this series Aaron Warner? Are you kidding me? Not the evil king from the other country? Girl, you need to finish reading the series because that's a bold and then I wasn't ugly too. I wasn't mean, but no. my mind was going.
I could read everything incorrect. Going through your mind in that moment.
Like, that's like saying that Adam was the series's Aaron Warner. No, baby. No, that's incorrect. It's incorrect.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm dying a slow and painful death for, I think it's February 6th, that the Tuesday, 6th or 8th?
8th, I think. I want to say 8th.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
That one Tuesday that in early week, February.
Yeah, it's either the 6th or the 8th. That week, if I'm not, whatever the Tuesday is.
If I'm not done with Crescent City, I will stop Crescent City to pick this book up 150%. Because Tahed Amafi is the one.
Yeah.
The one. Like, I will stop everything.
I mean, she did create Aaron Warner. So
she wrote Aaron Warner. What do you expect from me?
Yeah.
I love Rhysand. I love Lorcan. I love Cassian and Asriel. I love Rune Dan and Crown Prince of the Valbar and Fae. They're Aaron Warner. I don't know what it is. That man makes me sick. Sick in the best way. I don't want to get well.
Okay.
So yeah, everybody, go meet Cyrus and tell me how correct I am.
I love it. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
Oh, this is such an exciting intruder alert.
And we have not one, but two intruders, actually. We have the lovely, lovely, amazing Emily Weberly and Austin Sigmund Broca. Oh my gosh. I'm stumbling already.
That wasn't even the part we were checking on.
That's always how it happens.
Yes. You get the hard part and then the easy part is sleep.
Yeah. I'm doing
That's
really
too
well.
Comfortable.
Guys. This is exactly the vibe that we always have. So welcome.
This is called the incoherent fangirl for a reason.
Perfect.
There we go.
Well, we're happy to
It's already
here.
Happening. Happy to intrude.
Well, welcome. Their latest novel is The Breakup Tour. It is excellent and amazing, and I love it
yes.
so much.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can y'all give us the quick elevator pitch for anybody who doesn't know about it.
Of course.
Yeah, Emily's looking at me, so I'll do the honors. The breakup tour is about superstar singer Riley Wynn, who goes on her latest nationwide tour promoting an album of all breakup songs with the guy who inspired her biggest hit, her ex with whom she lost touch with 10 years ago and is now reuniting on the stages of the breakup tour. It's a second chance story. It's a story of music and first love found again. And we're very excited to bring it to everybody.
That was so well done.
Yeah, you really have.
Thank you.
That was crazy.
Like a lot of times we ask that and people are like, this is the hardest question.
It is the hardest question. It's the best thing about having a co-author.
It's also the only question you can prepare for. So
that's true.
I was saying this downstairs, ready for this very moment.
Well, you did it perfectly. It was excellent.
Yes. You guys graduated from some pretty prestigious colleges. So we've got Princeton for Emily and Harvard for Austin. Did you guys major in anything to do with writing? And or like, how did writing come about and how did writing together come about?
Yeah. So I did not. I was a psych major. And that is because actually there's a lot of writers in my family. And so I kind of was like, I don't want to do that. Like I don't want to just follow what everybody else has done. I kind of want to do my own thing. But of course I grew up loving stories and it was always really important to me. And so then after college, I was like, you know what? Why am I letting like the fact that my family does this, like keep me from doing it myself? So I started writing. Austin is a different journey.
And a much simpler one. I am an English major. I am a lover of literature and stories. I studied primarily Shakespeare and Renaissance literature in college because they wouldn't let me study creative writing, deeming it too practical a focus for the eggheads at Harvard. But I have always loved writing and stories. And also all through college, I did a lot of journalism, which is actually what I worked in when I got out of college. And so much of what I have done in my educational and professional life has revolved around storytelling and word craft in one form or other. And so the opportunity to do it with Emily was something that I had been waiting for in my heart for years and couldn't be more excited when I got that invitation. I was like trying not to like, I was like trying to be cool. And I was like, yeah, sure, okay, I'll help.
Did I read that you guys were high school sweethearts too?
Yes.
We were. I love that. I love it. And now you write romances together.
Yeah, I know.
That's so special. What is
the process like with writing with a co-author and especially with your partner?
You know, it has changed a lot over the years. We used to write like everything together. Like we would be in the same room and we would, I think the breakup tour was written that way actually.
Yeah, it mostly was.
We would like say sentences back and forth and it's very slow. Like it is a slow process to like talk out every word choice in a book. And so as our lives have gotten busier, we are less able to do that. And now we have more of like a division of labor in order to be efficient.
Yeah. What hasn't changed as much is that we sort of have areas of focus that each of us prioritizes and you know, cares about a little bit more and does a little bit better. Emily has always been more the structural and, you know, emotional storytelling part. And as a Shakespearean and a former journalist, I have always been a little bit more the prose craft language on the page person. And so when we are outlining a book, that's primarily Emily's domain. We sort of discuss it and I, you know, contribute here and there and then give myself credit for contributing a tiny bit. And when we are putting it on the page, I tend to take a little bit more of the lead in how to turn those outlines into paragraphs with pacing and poeticism. So we've kind of negotiated a way to keep doing that. It's like, you know, what we say is like we share two halves of one writer brain. It's not two brains. It's like we put them together and we get the whole brain.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, and it,
Mandy
it
and
reminds
I joke
me,
that we have one brain cell between the two
right.
of us.
You guys
yeah, we share a brain cell.
It's a single cell.
One singular cell.
Ping pong that guy back and forth. That's how
cool it is. Y'all describing your writing, especially for the breakup tour, reminds me of The Roughest Draft.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And to this day.
Pretty accurate. Not exact, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is my favorite. Like, I got it from Once Upon a Book Club, and that is my favorite box they have ever done.
It was such
gifts,
a good box. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
all of it was just absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. So this is perfect timing for a release about a female singer taking the world by storm. I want to know, like, how did you know about, like, the intricacies of a tour life? Did you interview people who have been on tour, or you just kind of make it up from what we can guess about what goes on in the green room?
We definitely don't know everything that happens in green rooms, but I will say a lot of the research for this took the form of watching a lot of tour documentaries, like, especially from young female artists, you know, like Billie Eilish and Ariana Grande and Katy Perry, like people like that have great tour documentaries that we watch, and just going on YouTube, and like there are people who are more like, you know, roadies, or like they've just played in the band, and they just kind of blog about their life on tour. And that was great. I was like, oh, show me a tour of your bus. Like, I want to know what that's like. And so very grateful to everybody who just creates content on the internet. It makes research a lot easier.
Yeah. We're certain we miss things, but there's really a lot that can be gleaned from those resources. Those tour documents.
It was cool to think about too, because you don't like, I would never picture Katy Perry like riding a tour bus down the interstate, but she has to. They're not flying her from place to place. She's not staying in a hotel every night. So it's weird to think that bus that you're driving by could be
I know.
Somebody huge inside.
Really, the first thing we did when planning this book is we watched a bunch of these.
And you know, like,
we've got to feel like, okay, what should be the rhythm of the life here?
And you can see also on YouTube, people like, you know, Justin Bieber's like, here's my tour bus. Like, do you want to have a... Tour
ribs.
Yeah, like, right. I would like that.
The content is right there.
Where did the story first originate? Like, how did you come up with this idea? Because it's coming out at, like Mandy said, an opportune time, but the real life equivalent was not happening at the time you guys wrote it.
No,
so.
It was absolutely not directly inspired by that. We come up with ideas together, usually by combining pieces that one or the other of us offers. And so there was actually an early inception of this that had more to do with an author, with a writer who was basing works on real people. And we liked this idea a lot, but it felt quite a bit
we just did authors.
And
so we thought, what is another sphere in which people base their artistic works to some extent on their life and the life of, you know, the lives of others? And we are, you know, it sounds trite and sort of goofy and extraterrestrial to say we're big music fans, but we are big music fans.
Yes.
And so this, you know, seemed like a natural next step of another kind of a figure to write about who puts themselves into their art in that way. And as for the alignments that arrived years later with the release of their albums and the launch of certain tours, well, you know, we got lucky.
How does it feel to be God's favorite? Like, that's the favor shining down on you right now.
Really, it was totally accidental. Yeah. We sold this last summer. Like, there was even a whiff of Midnights back then.
Right. Done with the draft when Midnights was coming out.
Yeah, I remember finishing and being like, we should listen to this album. See, like, on release night, like, finishing our, like, we were finishing the draft when Midnights came out, which is crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's crazy.
No. And I love how, like, it's got an understory, and I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but she's got this terrible ex-husband who wants to take credit for all of her works, and she's got a breakup album where everyone is nitpicking apart all of these men. Instead of it being about her in the real world, it's about every breakup, every whatever. I love that it's a rom-com with her on the cover by herself, because it's about her. It's not about him. It's not about them. It's about her. And I freaking love that.
Yeah, we love the cover. It's actually interesting you mentioned that, because that was a decision within the artistic process. There was thought given to whether a male figure should be, you know, silhouetted in the lights or something. And the more we looked at these comps, everybody was just like, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah,
because people take it away from this was not written about Taylor Swift, okay guys, but the thought, like, there's a good parallel to her life too, is that she's defined by all of the men that she's dated, and everyone likes to shame her for dating, which is wild. And there is one line that I read, and I'm not gonna quote it word for word because I can't remember and I should have highlighted it, but he said something along the lines of, like, he's trying to figure out, it's not the real her that's sitting in the tour bus, like, the real her is the one that's on stage, like, that is when she is the most herself. Almost made me cry. For all of these, like, female artists who are defined by so many other things than their talent. And, well, I wonder what who the real her is.
Right.
Right.
It's like she's showing you.
Yeah.
She's showing you. Look at that talent. That's the real her.
It's not a secret.
It's just so well thought out. And again, you guys wrote this well before any touring that's happening now, but it's just so well thought out and so incredibly thought out and moving.
Well, we really
in that area.
We really didn't want to just write a story that had a character who was that kind of character. We wanted to write a story about that kind of person that really answered the issues of how such a person
and
has gotten.
We found a lot of like similarities between artists who write about breakups and love songs and like romance authors,
right.
And like feeling that people like to make light of that and be like, oh, she just writes about her breakups. And it's like, first of all,
right.
She doesn't just write about her breakups. So second of all, even if
right.
she did, so what?
Why care? Like, yeah.
That's a
still incredibly great. Talented.
Yeah. Right. Like people have been writing about heartbreak forever. And just because a female artist is doing it in a pop form, you're going to look down on it. Like,
right.
Same with, you know, romance authors. Like, oh, it's like not real books. Like, yes, it is. Like, yeah. Yes, it is.
It takes time and it takes energy and it takes a lot of planning. Like, it's not just something you crank out.
No, you know, it is not.
I want to know what, I mean, obviously we all love music. You love music. What is your relationship to music other than just being a fan of it? Do you, either of you have any sort of background in music? Because the way that you write about.
It's so technical, like you guys are there.
Yeah. It felt like a songwriter was writing parts of that. You know,
so I have always been musical, but more like classically trained. You know, I did band and choir all through high school and college. I've loved music forever, you know, piano, voice, flute. And I actually used to play at an old folks home in high school, which is like all the Mac stuff was put in there. I was drawing on that the time that I would do that. Austin also.
I was the music critic for my college newspaper. And so I come to it from a much more indirect place. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I'm a
same.
But I spent a lot of my formative intellectual time in high school and college and after it as one of those crate digger kids who was obsessed with reading Rolling Stone and learning everything I could about the history of music all the way up through the basically the inception of pop music to the present and reading cultural criticism on it and reading the way that musicians were talked about and songs were talked about. And so when you put Emily and I together, we had a lot of way that we were ready to run down on this book. We, you know, ways of talking about music in every way, both the technical, but also discussions of types of music, of types of songs, of genres, of types of musicians. It's, you know, it's stuff that we've spent a lot of time focusing on.
That's so cool.
It shows.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely shows. Okay. I want to switch gears for just a little bit. I love the breakup tour and rom-coms in general, but can we talk for a minute about E.B. Asher, which is your name? And then this will be fun. So I've read that it's Princess Bride meets People We Meet on Vacation fantasy for lovers of Legends and Lattes and Shrek. According to Publishers Marketplace. Check. Like
all the things.
All true.
I read that and I nearly died.
Oh, thank you. We're so it truly is like the most fun we've ever had writing. We E.B. Asher is our pen name with the amazing Bridget Morrissey, and we each, you know, three POVs, and we were kind of like, what is a book that like three romance writers could like write about and that's fantasy? And we were like, what if it's like People Meet on Vacation, but a group of people who saved the world together and haven't spoken in 10 years, and maybe they have to go do that again. And so that was really where it came from.
Yeah, I mean, we've been wanting to write something that was like fun, lighthearted fantasy forever, you know, for long before it was like this sort of pot micro bubble, like, and we are thrilled to have the opportunity.
Yes.
I'm so excited because like fantasy is the beat of my heart. Like I love a rom-com, but fantasy is my genre where I'm like the happiest. And it sounds like it's going to be like a cozy, fun fantasy and not like a, this has to be the world's most epic saga.
Very,
I love those too, but
you know, there's stakes to it, but it is the primary, we want you to have a good time.
It's very whimsical.
It's like, it will be fun.
Yes.
So is there, I don't know that I saw a release date. Do y'all have like a time frame?
September 10, I believe.
Of this year?
Yeah. We have three books coming out this year.
There will be more.
I missed the date for that one.
We haven't like formally, it's like secretly on the internet.
But
so I saw it. And I was like, oh, September 10.
Hey.
Happened.
Love it.
Okay. That is so exciting.
Switching gears yet again, we have a segment on our podcast, which we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, wherein we pick a character from a book or a movie or a TV show that we just really vibed with, and they're just our boyfriend or our bestie. I once had a fictional granny. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend. So, do y'all have any characters, any fictional characters that you are just like, yes.
I'm drawn to them, person. That like everyone Best should kiss. Read this character.
Let's see. I mean, okay, so... You were going to say one for me? Or...
I was going to say one for you.
Oh, what, yeah. I want to know what his...
Oh, yeah, do it for each other, and then...
the characters from Divine Rivals.
Yeah, I really...
I think...
It's so good. It's so good.
She's very talented. She's a lovely person. Yeah. And so those characters really resonated with them.
Yeah, we got to interview her recently, and Roman was our boyfriend that week. Both of us.
And Tobias. Yes.
Let's bring him back.
So good. I know.
They're all yes, absolutely.
That was definitely that. I kicked that. That was like my first read of the year. So good. Such a good way to start. And then also we've been watching Friends, and I've already seen Friends, but watching it again as older and looking back, and like we both just love Joey a
he's
lot.
Great.
Like he's just like
he's the best of all the Friends.
Yeah,
he really is. He's the best.
That's what we were saying.
He's the best.
He's such a mood. Like, he's so relatable. Like, he's just chaos, and it's perfect.
But with a good heart, you know?
He's so genuine.
His sweetness is never, like, a joke. He's always sweet and real. Everything else
he's
does.
He's so genuine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I watched Friends for the first time during like quarantine COVID. I had never I'd seen random episodes, but I had never like watched it start to finish.
And
so I have it kind of fresh. And I remember thinking like finding flaws and all the rest of them. Like, oh, you kind of suck for that. Joey,
no,
there's not a flaw. There's not a flaw. You could do nothing wrong.
It's a wonderful portrayal. He's very funny and he's very sweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Those are good picks.
Yeah, those are good picks for sure. Okay, we also have another segment that another question that we always ask our guests. We love your books. We recommend your books. What books do you recommend to people that aren't yours, of course, because we already know that we're recommending your books. But like, what books are you reading that you just love and everybody should read this?
Well, of course, you know, we love Bridget Morrissey. We love her so much. We asked her to write a book with us. But if you don't want to read the book we wrote with her, you should absolutely read the book she writes on her own.
Yes.
That Summer Feeling came out this year. Last year now, I guess now that's 2024.
Weird.
About Adult Summer Camp. It's sapphic. It's so good. Also, all her books before that are incredible. And then an upcoming book that we read to blurb that is coming out this year that is like I'm obsessed with is The Villain Edit by Laurie DeVore.
Yeah.
It is like a girl going on a show like The Bachelor and finding out that she is playing the villain, that they have cast her as the villain in the show, and she is maybe having a thing with one of the producers. It's really good.
I'm sold.
Sold.
Add to the TBR.
I
think it comes out this summer, but definitely get eyes on that.
I'm going to have to look that up because that sounds fantastic.
Yes, for sure.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay, so we know that you guys... Breakup Tour is coming out this month. You guys have two other books coming out this year. Can you talk about them? And also, are there any secrets books that we don't know about that you can talk about? Because I like to try and dig.
We can absolutely talk about what else is coming this year. I'm very excited. We're also very tired. it's been really a year like no other, a very nice problem to have. We have been drafting and outlining nonstop. I know that I like can't believe Emily's output that like
same with Austin.
It's
a lot.
It's so good.
It's two of us. We're very grateful to each other. But our next
our next book is Eris Takes All, and we're super, super excited about it. It's a big divergence in form for us. It is a YA heist. It is inspired by the Inheritance Games and Ocean's 11. It's about a girl who was kicked out of her home by her nasty, super wealthy father, and facing her mom's medical bills and other issues, she decides that at his upcoming third wedding, she's going to use the occasion to steal back $10 million from him. She puts together a ragtag crew of high school classmates, and
it's a
heist that was, you know, fresh and fun and with a you know, iconic new main character. It was a blast for us to write. It was a big change. We just tried to pack all the humor and heart and romance into a heist that we could.
Yes.
So that's coming next.
And then after that is the This Will Be Fun, which is our fantasy cozy romanticy is like what they're saying. I'm like, I don't know if you can combine all those, but that's what we're calling it, cozy romanticy. And then at the, actually in the finished copies of the breakup tour, there is
a secret surprise, a
sampler for our next romance, which I don't know, like we've never spoken about it, but it's out there in the world. So I can say that it is
in the book,
that it is called The Book Boyfriend, and that will be coming next.
That's so exciting.
Oh,
it's close
no.
enough to the release date that it's basically out in the world.
Exactly.
Like, y'all will see it pretty soon.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so exciting.
That's so exciting. You guys are busy.
Yes.
Busy, yes.
Okay. What, we've asked our mandatory questions, right?
Yeah, we have.
I'm like,
we always have to know the
mandatory questions.
I was like, hold on. See, this is where my brain starts shutting down.
This is our first episode back from a winter break too. Yeah, so we are
our first full episode back, so we're still getting back into the groove of things, but we are starting off with an excellent interview and an excellent frickin' book.
I can't believe we're able to talk to you guys.
I'm
this is crazy.
Not over it.
I nearly beat Karen over the head with the roughest draft when I read it. I was like, oh my god,
she really did. It's in my house because of her. So
yes.
So much. It means so much.
Yes. So everybody, the breakup tour, it is coming out January 23rd. It is so good. I think I have said it many times. It took my breath away. I had to stop.
Karen got
after
super
I was
emotional.
Super
with
emotional.
Book.
I like had to stop after every chapter because it was just like, I need to digest this. Like, it's so good. Everybody needs to go get it. And speaking of, in the back of the book, we have the lyrics to the songs.
Yes.
Are they?
I'm so surprised.
My first venture into songwriting.
Can we like put into the universe some sort of collaboration?
No, I want to manifest a movie. I want to manifest a movie.
I'm also manifesting that.
Yes. We're big manifestors Listen, Mandy needs to explain this because it's very exciting.
I can't even remember all of the things that we've I've said I'm going to manifest this and it's come true. But we have had, are we up to six now?
Newer authors
come onto our podcast. And then the following week when their book came out, they made either New York Times
or USA Today
for the first time. And that's their talent. Okay. That is their talent, not us. But
we put it into the universe.
Yeah.
Hey, let's make it seven. Manifest away.
So, movie. This is going to be a movie. And
those songs are going to be real.
Those songs are going to be sung. And they're going to be on Spotify so that I can listen to them and cry.
Yeah.
That's Manifestation Corner.
Okay, so one last thing before we let y'all go. Mandy is gonna never apologize for this, and I'm gonna pretend to apologize, but I'm not really sorry. We regret to inform you that now that you have been on the podcast, you are legally obligated to come back for every book release from now until forever. We don't make the rules, we just enforce them. So
yeah.
We'll see you two more times this year.
Yeah, especially This Will Be Fun, because it will be fun and I will need to talk to
you. It'll be so much fun. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. This has been a blast.
I'm pinching myself. Like, this is incredible.
This is
big
fan interview. We're big fans of you guys here.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you do. Thank you for hanging out with us. Everybody, please go get the breakup tour. I'm begging you. I need more people to talk to about it.
Yeah.
We so appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for making our night.
I need you to kiss your dog for me.
Yes. Right now, she's good. She's being
sweet. Thank you guys again. We'll talk
to you soon.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Thank y'all. Bye. I cannot believe that we got to talk to them.
They're so nice. They're so well spoken.
Yeah.
Like, not that the authors that we've talked to aren't well spoken, but it's just
tell that Emily grew up in a family of writers and Austin studied Shakespeare very intricately.
Yes. Yes, they are. They're so much fun. Oh my gosh.
It reminds me of Corellia Stutzwaters. We said the same thing about her, about how like well-spoken she was.
Like, and it's like you can tell that the answers were thought out, but it was like in a second. Like, they didn't pause at all, but like you could tell they somehow managed to think it out real quick and spit out perfect, amazing answers.
Perfect word. This book is not a surprise now that I've spoken to these people.
Yes.
Like how poetic some of these books, some of these like words are.
Yes.
It makes sense.
You guys, please, I'm begging you.
Do it.
Pre-order The Breakup Tour. It is out on the 23rd. It is so close. I can taste it. I want more people to talk to about it. I love this book. It was the first book I read this year. And it was a great way to start my year, honestly.
Oh, show.
Oh, I love them so much.
Do we have anything to do? Announcements.
We got announcements.
I was going to say, is it time for a spiel? But no, we have an announcement first.
We have announcements. We have a lovely announcement. It's been about a year, less than a year, but it's been a year since her first book came out, but less than a year since we talked to her. Lauren Kung Jessen is coming back to the podcast, you guys.
Yay!
I'm so excited. Her second book, Red String Theory, is out now. It is excellent. If you read Lunar Love, you are going to flip out over a certain chapter.
Am I going to be hungry? Do I need to have food? Yes. I haven't read it yet and Karen has. Okay.
You need always. The rule is, if you're reading a Lauren Kung Jessen book, you have to have snacks and you have to have many of them to last you through the whole book.
My biggest
recommendation is to actually just go to a dim sum restaurant and sit there and eat while you're reading. But I understand that's not possible for everybody. But that I feel like
would be a little upset.
I'd be like, that would be the best vibe, I feel like. So
yeah.
If you have that ability, I highly recommend
it. Do it that way.
It is so good. You guys, if you love Lunar Love, you're going to love Red String Theory. It's great. And we get to talk to Lauren next week. And it's going to be amazing.
I love her.
I've been waiting. I'm like, wait, we've known this is coming. And it's just coming so slowly. Come back. It's going to be great.
Come back, please.
So tune in next week to hear us talk to Lauren. And you might probably want to have snacks when listening to that episode, too. I just feel like
snacks while we talk to her?
Just like something that's not too crunchy.
Yeah.
Maybe it might be necessary. Dumplings are not crunchy.
We can mute ourselves when we're not the one asking the question.
Exactly. So that we can eat.
Get some good dumplings.
Oh my goodness. So that's what's happening next week. And we have plenty more planned.
I'm so excited. We got a new author today, actually.
We did. It's very exciting. I can't wait to talk to these people.
I know.
So fun.
We got such a cool life.
We do have such a cool life. I love that for us. All because I asked you a silly question to the tune of a Frozen song.
I was thinking about it as I was setting up, because I keep my podcast stuff set up unless we're on like a break, but like I pushed the desk in here so it's not out in the room, and I moved the chair over. So I was setting up today and I looked over at Saint and I was just thinking, like, nobody else in my target could walk up to that book and say, I talked to her. And like point to her, like, I talked to her.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Breakup Tour is going to be in my target and I'm going to be able to walk in and say, like, I talked to them. I interviewed them. That is so, like, we have such a cool life.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. And it's funny because, like, we didn't do interviews a lot when we first started.
And then it's like,
and it kind of exploded really quickly. And so whenever the few times that we didn't have interviews set up at like the end of last season, my daughter would be like, who are you talking to today? And I'm like, oh, no, nobody today, honey. And she's like, what? Like, she's so shocked. Like, no,
outrage.
You guys are talking to somebody. So it's very cute how supportive she is.
Yeah, love her.
So it's been crazy 2 years, guys.
I can't wait for year three because we've got some pretty insane things up our sleeves.
I would also like
to somebody we need to follow up with, by the way. Yeah. Somebody huge.
Yep. That'll be this month. We will be following up, and that's gonna be really freaking exciting.
Yeah.
But I do want to point out that this year, 2024, is the year of the dragon in the Chinese zodiac, which means next year is the year of the snake, which means it's literally our year. It's literally our year next year.
Yeah, we're year of the snake.
So I'm just saying, things are about to pop off, guys. I'm manifesting now.
We're going to manifest that, but also it is insane to think, because we just talked about the breakup tour, right? That 2023 and 2024 have not even been Taylor Swift's year, because she is also year of the snake. What?
Yes. Yes,
she is.
Can
you imagine? Oh my.
2025, Lanta. Guys. 2025.
It's our time to shine.
It's, I was thinking about that like a couple weeks ago. I'm like, oh, it's the year of the dragon. I'm like, oh shit. That means next year. Literally our year.
Yeah.
Like literally. So
this is crazy.
So yeah, basically this year is us getting hyped for
our year.
For our year. I keep saying to myself, I'm gonna like, I gotta do all my prep work this year, because this year I can have chaos. Next year, it's happening. Let's
lay the foundation this year.
Exactly.
For next year to just go crazy.
So yeah, a little tangent there, but
it's okay.
It all goes together. We were talking about Lauren, Chinese zodiac. It all goes together.
Yeah. Do you want to do a spiel? I got a pile of dishes downstairs I have to wash before I get to go to bed.
Well, then I guess it's time to do a spiel. If y'all enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. And if you would like to get early access to episodes or video episodes, you can subscribe to our Patreon, theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon. We also post some like early teasery things if you are into that as well.
And our Patreons probably already know who next week's guest is. Not Lauren's, but the following week.
There's lots going. Time is weird, okay? Timey-wimey shit is happening, and
that seems mathy.
Yeah, but anyways, if you would like to wear some of our merch, you can head over to our merch shop, incoherentfangirl.com/shop. There's some super cute stuff. Mandy is a genius with designing shit, so
I just designed things I would want to wear.
Basically. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas, you want to tell us that we're pretty. Mandy's headphones match her sweater right now, and it's
I'm kind of a vibe today.
it's a whole vibe, and I'm loving
Not
it.
Not even on purpose. I just wanted to match Georgie.
It's perfect.
This is the color sweatshirts we got.
Please do send us an email, guys. theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. Mm-hmm. And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Please give us your words. We love that.
To read your word. We like to read all of the things, but especially your words.
Yes. Only if they're nice words. We're fragile.
If you're mean to me, I'll be mean back. So
listen, I'll be mean back, but I'll cry first. Okay. I'm a fragile person.
I'll be angry crying. I won't be hurt. You can't, like, if you can hurt my feelings and I won't cry, but you make my sister used to tell people this. She's crying. It's because you pissed her off that much. And she is ragey. Those are rage tears.
That's fair. I approve.
Yeah.
Anyways, she is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Miss Made in China on all the things.
And once you have finished following us and the podcast all across social media, you can go and visit our internet besties and do some shopping because they make some cool shit.
And we like shopping.
We do. Far too much.
A lot.
Head on over to herecomesthenerd.com. Use code FANGIRL and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then we talked about them with Austin and Emily. Once Upon a Book Club has an Austin and Emily box, the roughest draft, the best box that I have seen from them. And I've seen a lot of good boxes with that one. So if they still have that on the website, you need to go get it. We have two coupon codes for you. You cannot stack them, but either one's going to get you 10% off. You can use code Mandy10 or Karen10. Just remember that, you gotta spell Karen right.
I'm not like a regular Karen. I'm a cool Karen. And once you have done that, you're going to head over to EntrancingElixirs.com, get you some tea because it's delicious. And who doesn't need some tea to be cozy, honestly?
Look, she made medicine ball recently and it's the greatest thing.
Yes, love it.
It's the greatest thing to have in your house when anybody starts to feel a tickle in their throat.
Just a little bit. Absolutely. Yep. You're going to use code FANGIRLTEA to get 10% off. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA.
And then of course we've got to get you over to Amber D. Lewis. We love her. You love her because we told you, you have to love her. She's teasing some new things here lately. So head over to amberdlewis.com and you'll get, if you use code fangirl10, you'll get 10% off your purchase. Sign up for her newsletter, her Patreon, anything that you can get, these teasers that we're getting, go do it. And go buy the whole Fire and Starlight saga and all of the goodies that go with it.
Yep. Share with your bestie. You're going to need the support, basically.
Yeah. What did I say last week? Galentine's Day is coming. Mm-hmm. That's a great Galentine's Day gift.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And once you have finished supporting our besties, I guess we can go and support the show husband and our technical support.
Yes, we can like him. So we have Searchers and the Paranormal Mind podcast. You can find both by heading to searchersbelieve.com. And then again, as soon as you finish listening to us, head over and listen to the Paranormal Mind. They have episodes every Friday, just like us. We also did just announce that we are reopening Lights Out Industries, which is the videography service that we used to run. We primarily did weddings, but now it's the three of us as like the owners of the business. So it's me, Josh, and his Searchers partner, Shane. And they are wanting to be the production company that makes anybody's filmmaking dream come to life. So if you have an idea, but you don't have all of the gear to make it happen, I know a guy. So yeah, Searchers Believe, Lights Out Industries, The Paranormal Mind, they're all on Instagram now. While they were recording their podcast, I was like, we're going to have to get all of these social media handles because somebody else will. And you don't know what they're going to post on your behalf.
Yep.
So yeah, go follow all of those ventures. I've been being producer Mandy on Paranormal Mind episodes. I don't know if that's a forever thing or if that's just when she's on there thing. We've kind of been playing it by ear. If I'm there, I throw on headphones and throw jabs and book recommendations at them. So that's been fun.
What podcast she's on.
Yeah, I told them that Romanian vampire hunter sounded hot.
The longer Mandy is on the Paranormal Mind, the more crossover stuff we can do because that was fun.
So anyways, they got some really cool merch also designed by yours truly. So head over to searchersbelieve.com and use code fangirl10 and you'll get 10% off.
Yay.
We love the show husband. I guess we'll keep him.
Yeah.
A jury's out. If my mic is not fixed by next week, it will be. But if it's not.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true. No, can't keep him.
It's time for Tom Hiddleston or Harry Styles to step in as the show husband.
Yeah.
That's okay. My love and Tamelia.
We'll accept.
Where you at?
Adam Lazaro. Look, I remembered his name. I be love proud that of me.
Man so much. I will die loving that man. I'll die in love. Head over heels in love with that man. I will be 80 years like the lady in Titanic. Just fall away into death loving that man. He'll be old too. It's fine.
I love it.
Good job. The twins even get, not the twins. One of the twins, the non-reader, gets confused between Adam Silvera and Adam Lazara. So she's like, is that the singer one or the author?
Oh my gosh. And that's the first episode of season 3 Woo! Of the Incoherent Fangirl, guys.
This is wild.
Season 3.
I can't believe it.
This is crazy. We're going into our third year of doing this. I love it.
How did you?
It's wild.
I think I'll keep doing it.
I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan. Thank you all for listening. All
right, yeah. Thanks for coming along.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.